formation, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
Work, rest, and pay. A complex equation. Buying and selling are the basic actions of any economy, in which objects or services change hands at an agreed rate. This value is usually quantified in terms of money, currency such as pounds and pence, designed as a means of exchange. A note or coin symbolises an item of value, which may be awkward or impossible to carry for purposes of barter. So an arrangement has arisen where the currency symbolises the desired asset and can be exchanged in trust, knowing that this action conveys transfer of ownership. One pays a small amount of money for an item, such as a magazine, and receives a copy in return. In such a way, society and business interaction can proceed in mutual trust, backed by the official nature of the currency. However, modern life is becoming ever more complex. Gold, notes and coins were augmented and then often replaced by checks. In effect, a check is a promissory note or IOU on behalf of the purchaser, which confirms that an amount of currency will be transferred to the seller's bank account in lieu of physical coinage. These surrogates require a measure of trust, for a check can bounce while a coin cannot. Thus, the beginnings of complexity arise with the check guarantee card, which soon becomes the debit card, then the credit card. If personal microchipping were ever forced on the population, this would be the ultimate irony of non-physical currency. We would embody the means of transaction ourselves, at least while the electronics were functioning.
A cash-free complexity.
A debit card allows electronic payment of funds which are debited from an existing source, the money in the user's bank account. Even so, this is no longer represented as physical currency, but numbers on a computer screen. If such currency has no physical reality, why should it be limited? In this way, accounts are credited with non-existing funds that may be drawn upon to buy physical items and tangible services. Thus, the debit card becomes the credit card. Note how the terms creditors and debtors are used in business to describe a person or body to whom debt is owing, or one who is in debt. A credit card puts us in debt to the banks, who become our personal creditors. Equally, banks owe the sum deposited in an account to the holder of a debit card. Both are electronic, but the credit card reverses the burden of debt onto the holder or customer, as they are invariably branded. The price for this slick facility is the interest payable on non-existent money, which returns to the bank via regular payments of cash earned in the real world. In this way, the bank, or lender, becomes enriched. The intention may not have been malevolent, but the result is the creation of complexity. Money is no longer a simple means of exchange, but an elastic but abstract construct, like a mathematical formula. It can be used for problem solving or gain by those vested in the science or mathematics of money.
Work, rest, and
economists. At your services. A similar directness used to exist with regard to utilities, products and services. A gas company would sell gas, an electricity company supply power, and so on. Nowadays, their logos are often just monikers for a range of services of a seemingly random nature. You can buy electricity from a gas company, although they may not own the infrastructure. A phone was once a phone, but the provider assumes one must upgrade this simple item to access premium services. The internet, then broadband, cable TV, high-definition TV, and now just appearing on the market, three-dimensional TV. Yet just a basic service was asked for. Providers do not just provide, they predict and provide, taking the consumer down a rabbit warren of increasing complexity. Equally, such companies may be owned by larger concerns, often based overseas. So the local base of the provider is something of an illusion. Nuclear energy may be generated in France and then fed to the British national grid. Call centres in India may handle inquiries concerning various domestic services. Oil and gas are unlikely to be sourced on the British mainland, despite the recent detection of oil fields in the southeast of England, but are imported from the Middle East or piped across Asia via a pipeline. These facts may be the inevitable outcome of a complex society with, in Britain, a dense population on a relatively small island that cannot generate all the resources it needs. Bigging up society. In Britain, the government of Conservative Prime Minister David Cameron is attempting to instigate a cultural shift to something he calls the big society. This presumably differs from a large state, with the element of size being the supposed dispersal of power from the top to the bottom. It is an attempted recreation of a previous golden era when everyone helped everyone, benefactors were aplenty, and major institutions were founded by the munificence of the private citizen. Myth or reality, the idea has a nostalgic appeal. However, the complex demands of social and environmental services require great organisation, particularly in a crowded island with numerous laws that must be obeyed. The concept of the big society is not an innocent one, but an artificially imposed ideal that may or may not function. So larger organised bodies will be needed to ensure its current operation. Already many public services are outsourced to private companies, including Capita, Serco and G4S. Some may be mundane, like collecting rubbish or removing graffiti. But they also run prisons, manage Greenwich Mean Time and, incredibly, maintain Britain's nuclear warheads. The big society is being proposed at a time when growing austerity is assumed, if not being actively orchestrated by the government. Such companies have found a rich stream of potential profit, as there is a guaranteed market for services that are, by definition, vital. Yet how much scrutiny do such companies undergo? Each signs a memorandum of understanding with the government, outlining the respective rights and responsibilities. But these are difficult to inspect in practice due to their commercially sensitive nature. Meanwhile, the directors of such companies can pocket vast salaries based on a spurious comparison with multinational corporations. If this is the new localism, how can such inflated payments be justified? Weakest link.
Complex equation.
Remember the old cry, what about the workers? Indeed, the workers are often the weakest links in the chain between management and consumption. Those at the top have the right to profits, those in the high street have the right to consume, while those in the workplace are obliged to work. Such a system is inevitable within an industrial society, although the tight divisions of labour can make employment a restrictive and demeaning affair, robbed of the pride engendered by true vocations, crafts and desirable skills. Enticement might be needed to fill unpleasant roles, whether through the carrot or the stick. It is into this breach that the private sector has been encouraged, with the big society planning a new concept, albeit with a bland utilitarian name, the work programme. There have been precedents for this policy which were instigated by the previous Labour administration. Working Links is the name of a privately run employment firm that tries to fit the unemployed into the workforce. Given the problems with the economy after the credit crunch, this job might become harder than it was in the post-millennium boom years. A harsh regime for the workers thrives on the concept of mental division. The whole person means nothing, as with the school system where Children are psychologically split by narrow exam subjects and constant testing. This model also exists within work culture, where jobs overstate the need for hyper-specialised experience. Despite this, the unemployed are constantly blamed for not widening their job search. As ever, the system loves its corporate design. The Working Links logo has weird orange loops, overlapping like the rings of a geometrical sets diagram. Or perhaps they suggest lassos to ensnare the unwilling. The windows of their offices are blanked out by unpleasantly designed graphic representations of typical workers, depicted in the company's chosen colours of orange and white. These figures have no facial features, merely blank spaces where the faces should be. This makes a fitting metaphor to their vision of the world. When a school pupil's anti-war march passed a Working Links office in spring 2003, the staff were almost panicking. How could such random acts occur in their clockwork universe of petty, pointless appointments? Wrongs and rights. A mediocre paradigm is offered by such employment schemes. They push claimants towards any job, whether suitable or not, in exchange for bribes and threats. A citizen's wage, or basic income, has been suggested by some as a far better model, paid to all heedless of income. A weekly amount for basic expenses, no questions asked, would allow dull culture and genuine voluntary work to exist while being a safety net for unstable self-employed work or employment. As incomes rise, taxes paid, but the basic income would still be universal as a right. If the rich spend theirs on whiskey, fine, because their taxes will pay for it. Could this be the real big society? It could be the fairest way in a system that depends on money at every level, and where bankers invent it out of thin air. Otherwise, we may have to invent a super-let scheme and live in survivalist mode. Perhaps the magician David Blaine showed the way of the future in 2003 by living in a Perspex box with no food and under constant surveillance. Both the Liberal Democrats and Green Party have championed the basic income at times, although little has been said of late. Sticking up for the unemployed has little kudos. Once in power, politicians often prefer to bleat about their supposedly low allowances than remember their original ethics. Surely everyone deserves a basic right to exist at a very basic level without constant threat and negative attack. The zone is always evolving, said one advisor in a Working Links office, as if describing a phenomenon from a science fiction tale. One thinks of the Twilight Zone, a weird place between sleep and awakening. Maybe that's where action plans are drawn up. Zones often feature in go-for-it-style enterprises, like the Millennium Dome with its zones of the future. They seldom make it into the future, which unfolds in a more random manner. Sudden disruption. Complex equation. The balance of complexity means that not much has to go wrong for the system to collapse or be severely hampered. The tragic earthquake off the Japanese coast on March 11th, 2011, offered a shocking real-time demonstration of how a chain of events can escalate. An earthquake caused a tsunami, with major floods hitting the land and many thousands killed. The tsunami also damaged several nuclear power stations, which went into meltdown. Not only were the subsequent radiation leaks a terrible problem to contend with, the loss of electricity supply had knock-on effects for Japanese industry, which is usually so dedicated to economic production and the work ethic. The more spiritual side of Japan may see these events within its deep tradition of Shinto, the concept of deified spirits that personify the powers of the natural world. Fictional creatures were often depicted in the films of Toho Studios, with the giant reptilian Gojira, or Godzilla, laying waste to post-war cities in a thinly veiled metaphor of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The television news images from Japan had a strange resemblance to these simulated scenes, although they needed no literal creature to instigate the chaos. The lack of panic was remarkable, given the impact of the events, and Japanese citizens have been praised for their stoicism and patience. However, these traits have been sorely tested of late, for the authorities may be concealing the true severity of the nuclear leaks.
Work, rest and pay.
Rich ecology or rich economy.
A complex equation.
Society is ever more stressful as we awaken to its wrongs but are unable to resolve them within its repressive demands. The system is stepping into overdrive to keep everyone down, which is the only way it can survive. Whether through money, war, GM foods or radioactive pollution, governments can appear to be instruments of repression. 2011 is a busy year. There are uprisings in the Middle East, economic crises, and a plethora of natural disasters. Whatever the human tragedies involved, the world has been designed to run on cash, commerce, and credit. Real events in the physical world become intertwined with our financial constructs, forming an equation of complexity. Unlike pure mathematics, the results are not always so predictable.
A complex equation. Work, rest and pay.
The information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.